I left the city, I've been browsing. Treading water that they drowning. My head on a swivel, yeah. It's only really my surroundings.
Hello and welcome to episode 214 of the Smash Accept podcast. I'm your host, Michael Royer. You can find me on Twitter, at DynastyDadFF. Joining me, as always, is my partner in crime, the one, the only, FF Snoog. How you doing tonight, brother?
I'm doing good. I'm excited to finally jump into our first rookie mock with the two Fantasy Stock Exchange GOATs. Shout out them. I've been watching them for a while, so it's good to finally get on and pick their brain a little bit about this stack class.
Always stealing my thunder for the introductions, but you guys have seen him on here before at Football Stock, the one, the only Corey from Football's from Fantasy Stock Exchange. How you doing tonight?
Doing good. I mean, nice topic to have me on. At least we're not talking about the 2024 tight end class or something.
Yeah, that one wouldn't take too much time. We actually just did cover the tight end class with David Gutierrez. If you guys didn't catch that, that was our last episode. So, you know, you've been on the show before. Thank you so much for coming back on. You know, we had a blast last time chopping with you. And this time you're bringing your partner in crime, Mr. Danny Football himself. How you doing?
Doing well. And yeah, I mean, we've been grinding these prospects for, what, the last 2 months, it seems, Corey. We've dug in. We got our top 30s already set. Version 1.0 of our draft guide, which we'll, you know, make reference to in a second. But yeah, I'm feeling good. Just ready to talk about some of these guys rather than, you know, watch 3-4 hours of them at a time.
Yeah, Corey, this wide receiver class is fantastic. And you've started to dig in. You guys released your, you know, rookie guide today. So talk to me a little bit about the process of you know, scouting your wide receivers, your rookie guide, and where that people can find that. Because I know our listeners loved it when you were on last time and they want to dig more into what you guys are putting out there.
Yeah, so our draft guide, basically, like Danny said, is our top 30 prospects. We dug in pretty deep on these guys, you know, grading 10 weighted average traits per position and, you know, going through the strengths, the weaknesses, the measurables, the fantasy outlook, you know, what the market thinks of them, player comps, anything that you could probably imagine. And all of that's available on our site, flockfantasy.com. Over there, we have us, you have the Dynasty Domain guys, Dynasty Land, Mason from Fantasy Flock, of course, and all of us have kind of teamed up to put all of our bonus content. So not only is our draft guide on there, the Dynasty Land guys draft guide is on there, the Domain guys draft guide is on there, and I believe Mason's working on something right now as well. So tons of content over there. Promo code FSE actually gets you 30% off and a 7-day free trial and 6 months for free if you sign up annually. And you actually can also get like a Dynasty consult with one of us for free if you sign up annually as well. And this is just version 1.0. We just have the first 30 prospects. About a month from now after the combine, we'll of course add in all the combine things that happened, all the measurables and everything that happened there. And then another 20 guys to the guide as well. So we're hoping to at least have 50, probably even more so, you know, 50 or 60 by the time the NFL draft comes around. But a lot of grinding still to go. But we got the major names out of the way. We got the important guys so far.
I love that. Danny, you know, as you're starting to dig into this class, I mean, what sticks out to you as wide receivers compared to 2023's class versus this class? Because everybody always wants to compare. That's just what we do. You know what I mean? And as you're starting to dig into the tape, how does this class compare to last year's as far as at the top, as far as depth? I mean, what are you seeing so far?
I mean, just judging across the board, I really do think that 2024 favors strongly comparatively to 2023. I feel like at the top, obviously, a guy like Marvin Harrison Jr., a guy like Malik Nabers compares better than what we were looking at last year, Jordan Addison, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Those are my top two wide receivers, and I have higher grades, much higher grades on Marvin Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers. I'd be shocked if either of them made it out of the top five at this point.
Yeah, no, I love it. And Snoog, I mean, you've been jumping in there too. I mean, I know you're starting to put out threads the whole way through, all the way up through our top 12. You know, what are some of the takes that you have this class compared to last year as you're looking at over the tape?
Well, definitely don't find the next Quentin Johnston. So I've learned to kind of fade away from Keon Coleman. I think that's the guy.
If you comp one of these guys to Quentin Johnston, we might have to alert everybody.
Yeah, I'm hoping it's not Brian Thomas Jr., but I think he's way too fluid as a mover. He excels greatly vertically, and he just has very soft hands, which Quentin Johnson didn't have. Quentin Johnson also couldn't track the ball over his shoulder to save his life, so definitely not going to be Brian Thomas Jr., and I've seen that comp a little bit on Twitter, and I fought against it, so.
Love it. Corey, you know, at the top of this class, you're looking at two guys that are, you know, going to go top five, top six, maybe even three guys go in that top six or seven. And historically, wide receivers that go that early, you know, the ceiling on these guys is so much different. Talk to me a little bit about Marvin Harrison versus Malik Nabers. You know, there's a little bit of a debate. Is it a 1A? Is it a 1B? Do you have them in a slightly different tier? Because Marvin Harrison Jr. was the guy that we just anointed the next Calvin Johnson for the last several years. But Malik Nabers, Corey, yeah, I think Snook and I have him pretty darn close.
Yeah, so, I mean, I guess in my grading system, I don't have them all that close. Although, you know, from a fantasy perspective, I do think they're pretty close. For reference, since 2021, since I refashioned this grading system, I have never given a generational wide receiver grade until this year with Marvin Harrison Jr. So Chase was previously the highest grade that I had given at 91 out of 100, and Harrison's grade is 95.5, and Danny has him 96. So, I mean, we have him basically as a like unbelievable bulletproof wide receiver prospect. That being said, Malik Nabers is just behind Ja'Marr Chase and Devontae Smith's grades as second and third since 2021 for me. So even though he's not on the level of Marvin Harrison, just given the pedigree and like the cleanest prospect at wide receiver I've probably ever seen, Malik Nabers is outstanding. He's basically what Brandon Ayuk has turned into for the 49ers, except Brandon Ayuk was not this polished coming out of college.
Yeah, I mean, like just echo. I was just going to echo that. I mean, when we're talking about these two players, I think both can be absolute fantasy superstars. You should be able to hear me. Okay, perfect. They can both easily be fantasy superstars. With Marvin Harrison Jr., I mean, there's just really nothing you can complain about other than we have listed here some drops as a weakness, like fluid mover, elite nuanced route runner, obviously dominant when the ball's in the air. I mean, three-level threat. There's really no weaknesses you can point to when it comes to Marvin Harrison Jr. That's why I think he's reminiscent of a guy like AJ Green coming out. Crystal clean, top five projection. Obviously, we saw when AJ Green was fully healthy, he was one of the top 3 to 5 wide receivers in the NFL. With Malik Nabers, there's some more concerns there. I do think that in terms of his contested catch ability, there's a little bit to be desired, which knocked his grade a little bit. I mean, he's still got a 91. He still is a top 10 overall talent. And like Corey said, lands in the right situation. I mean, we saw Brandon Ayuk, arguably a top 5 overall wide receiver in the NFL this year. I really do think Malik Nabers has that type of ceiling.
I love to hear when people verify. I mean, when I did my thread, I saw AJ Green too. And, you know, people that haven't been watching football long enough, they were like, oh, that's a weak take. But, dude, AJ Green was a beast, you know. So I got to ask you, Danny, if we had the draft today and Malik Nabers goes to the Cardinals and Marvin Harrison Jr. goes to the Patriots, is there any scenario where you see Malik Nabers' value more than Marvin Harrison right out the gate?
I can see the market valuing it that case, obviously with Kyler Murray. And I mean, the biggest question mark there is what are the Patriots doing at quarterback in this instance? Correct. Are they drafting a young guy? Are they signing maybe a Kirk Cousins, another vet? There's a lot more unknown. For me personally, I can't go against Marvin Harrison Jr. because, like I said, as much as I like Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison Jr. is still great as a generational player. And I just think from a process standpoint, passing on anybody you give a generational grade to is a little bit flawed, especially at a wide receiver like or a position like wide receiver. I mean, we're not talking about tight ends. Brock Bowers is also a generational tight end given our grading, but strictly wide receivers, given their value, I think Marvin Harrison Jr. cannot drop.
Corey, when you have, you know, you have Marvin Harrison as a generational type grading, what parameters, what do you put Malik Nabers at as far as, you know, a comp and as far as what you would say for his grading style? Like where do you have him?
Yeah, he's at a 90 for me, which, like I said, Chase 91 in 2021. That's the and Devontae Smith also exactly a 90 grade. So since 2021, Nabers would be technically tied for third behind Harrison and Chase, with Devontae Smith as the highest grade I've given for a wide receiver. Like Danny said, the contested catches, some concerning drops. He needs a little bit of refinement because he's kind of a explosive plays at all one speed kind of athlete at times, but we're really nitpicking with these dudes, man. Like these guys are studs, and Nabers, like I said, would have been the wide receiver one pretty comfortably for me last year. And also in, you know, back in 2020, I actually didn't have a higher grade on any of those wide receivers than what I have on Malik Nabers. And a 90 overall grade is equivalent to a top 10 talent. I would spend a top 10 NFL draft pick on him.
Snoop, before we talk about a couple guys that are valued in that same area, anything to add to the Nabers Harrison debate?
Yeah, Corey and Danny absolutely nailed it on Harrison. I truly think he's a generational talent. AJ Green's my comp as well. That's literally all I see on tape. Can excel winning downfield, run nuanced routes, wins in contested catch situations. He also somehow like has the craziest catch radius I've ever seen in my life. When I was watching not only him and Stroud tear it up in 2022, even with McCord, like his contested catch rate is so high because the quarterbacks trust him to make every single play if it's in his catch radius. And a lot of people try to knock him for that, but I'm not gonna, because he makes some of the craziest catches. And he's one of those guys that even working the sideline, most people get 1 foot down, he always gets two. And in college, that's impressive. Neighbors is right there with him. I have Marv a decent amount ahead of him. Marv's actually my 102 in all super flex formats, even before landing spots. I don't care where he goes. But Neighbors, 4.0 plus yards per route run this year against zone. That's phenomenal. And Ladd McConkey hit that as well. So, Corey, there you go. There's your guy. But Neighbors is an absolute monster. Yards after catch beast. I comped him to like if Odell Beckham Jr. and DJ Moore had a baby, and I'm rolling with it. So
I love it. Corey, if we're talking about dynasty value right now, I mean, you know, Marv in one quarterback is going 101 and Neighbors is going 102. So I have a couple of guys that are going in that similar area as far as, you know, wide receiver values. And I want to get you to rank these couple wide receivers here. So I'm going to go Puka Nacua, Garrett Wilson, Amon-Ra St. Brown, and both of these rookies. Where do you have them slated in comparison to those players?
Yeah, so St. Brown is the veteran that I have the highest of that group, followed by Garrett Wilson, and then Puka Nacua, and who is the other veteran?
The two. That's it. And then the two.
And then there's the two rookies. Okay, so Harrison is slightly ahead of St. Brown, but he would probably be like within a tier of St. Brown behind the obvious, you know, Lamb, Jefferson, Chase, top tier there. And then I would have Neighbors slightly behind that area. I think you could even probably group Olave into that tier with the veterans as well. And I would take Neighbors right behind those guys. So I think you have to put respect on what Puka Nacua did this year. As much as it seems crazy to say that, like, Puka Nacua from last year's class, I would take him over a prospect to the caliber that I have a top 10 grade on. That's just how good Puka Nacua's rookie season was. So I'm not gonna, you know, poo-poo the whole situation. It's like, oh, you know, if Sean McVay goes away or Stafford goes away, you don't put 1,450 yards up as a rookie and not be a special player. So Neighbors, he's like my wide receiver 8 or 9, I believe, among veterans right now in Dynasty. And then Harrison is my wide receiver 4.
Okay, I love it. Yeah, we both have, Snoog and I both have them in our top 10. Same question for you, Danny. Any changes with that, going with Puka, Wilson, Neighbors, Marv, and Amon-Ra St. Brown?
Yeah, and funny enough, I mean, these guys make up my wide receivers 4 to 9. So Chase is going to be my number 3. Olave is going to be my number 9. And all 5 of these guys are right in between. Marvin Harrison comes at 4, like Corey said. I honestly just think in terms of market value appreciation, if he were to go out there and have the 1,200-yard rookie wide receiver season, given his hype, given the draft capital, given the talent I think he has, I think everybody's going to unanimously have him at least within the Lamb, Jefferson, and Chase tier, if not even topping it given his age. So I do think I have to put him at 4, Amon-Ra at 5, Garrett Wilson at 6, Puka at 7, and Malik Neighbors at 8. A lot of similar reasons to what Corey said. Garrett Wilson, I do think, has superstar level talent. Obviously, with Aaron Rodgers expected to come back, I'm expecting him to have that 1,400-yard 10, 11, 12 touchdown rookie season. So more of a projection, because obviously this year loses Rodgers, but I think we have a lot more confirmation now that he is amongst the elite wide receivers of the NFL based on his play without Rodgers.
And I love to hear what you said there, is if Marvin, you know, Puka had a phenomenal season, his value cannot go up anymore, no matter what he does. If he does it again, he's not going to enter the same area as Chase, Jefferson, Lamb. It's going to be very difficult. If Marvin puts up 1,200 yards and 6 touchdowns, he's in that area just because of the hype and the market area. So, Corey, Roma Dunze, I love him. You know, he's the wide receiver 3 in this class. I think he would have been the wide receiver 1 in last year's class. How close do you have him to Neighbors? Because I think a lot of people think, okay, well, he's the wide receiver 3 in this class. And a lot of people are saying he's the 107. And, you know, they're comparing that to, well, I think I should trade, you know, for that area because I don't think he's as good. This dude looks legit.
Yeah, hopefully his family doesn't come after me again for saying that he's the wide receiver 3 in this class. But Romo Dunze is an unbelievable catch point receiver. He's like, as much as, you know, the later guys we're going to talk about, Thomas and Keon Coleman, these guys can go up and get it. Odunze is the best in this class at it. And he's also a fantastic route runner. He's got the size, the physicality. And again, a lot of people debate back and forth, is early declares better? Are, you know, do we want these guys coming out of school when they're 20 years old and they still have some projection to go? call me, you know, old fashioned, but I like to see my college wide receivers get better throughout their college careers. So with Romo Dunze, I'm not as firm on the stance that, like, you know, you got to be an early declare to be worth my time or whatever, because he's like 2 months older than Marvin Harrison Jr. So I really don't care that much that he's a senior. It factored into my grade. I have him at an 87.75 for reference. That's about the same grade. Or just a little bit lower than what I had on Drake London and Garrett Wilson in 2022. So if he was in that class, he would have been wide receiver three also, but he would have been, you know, ahead of the likes of Treylon Burks. He actually would have been my wide receiver one in last year's class as well, higher than JSN, higher than the grade I gave Addison as well. So with Odunze, there's just so much to like in terms of like comps for him. I mean, me and Danny have talked about like a Michael Pittman plus, or like a smaller, lankier Mike Evans, or not lankier, but like smaller, you know, less length than a guy like Mike Evans has. I've seen people float around like bigger Chris Olave. I think anything that you get to with like raw physical strength at the catch point and great route running ability is probably a fair comparison for Odunze.
Yeah, I love that. I mean, because I think We have such an area here where you're going to be able to pick up some wide receiver values. Danny, we got a question on here from my man Bryce Locust. He said, right now, if you're in a super flex league, would you trade JSN and the 201 for Malik Nabers?
Not thinking twice about it. Give me Malik Nabers. I understand JSN.
On this show, we call that a smash accept, baby. Yeah, that, for me, that I would do that. Let's rephrase. I mean, for me, I almost think I would do JSN and maybe the 108. 109 for sure. Like, that's how big I am.
Even deeper.
Neighbors.
Yeah. Like, I this might has got to be a one quarterback league, I'd imagine, too, if you're saying 102 neighbors as well, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, yes, it is. So that's even more. Yeah. I just
104, 105.
201's even less valuable in that case. Yeah. So, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, as much as I love JSN, I think at this point, I would absolutely take the reroll on Malik Nabers. I think, I mean, if he has the rookie season, I think he can, especially going top five with the opportunity at hand. Like, I just talked about how Marvin Harrison Jr. could be within that CeeDee Lamb, Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase tier. I don't think Malik Nabers could be far off if he had 1,200 yards, if he had 8-9 touchdowns this season.
Now, I want to move on to the next tier. So, I mean, for me, it's like those two guys are in a tier of their own. Odunze is almost in a tier of his own. My wide receiver four is different than yours. I'm a Brian Thomas Jr. guy myself at four. Danny, I want to go with you first, then to Corey, and then to Snoop, because this is where it starts to be a tier where people start to differ a lot, right? One through three is pretty chalk. No one's really debating that too much. But then you're seeing these guys, four, five, and six, all, you know, potentially getting round one draft capital, which is going to be huge. Landing spot's going to be huge. But as of right now in the process, for me, it's Brian Thomas Jr.
Yeah, I mean, I'm on the same page there. Brian Thomas Jr. actually graded out as my number four as well. Comparable to a guy like Nico Collins, I really do think that he can reach that type of ceiling. And we saw Nico Collins, arguably a top 15 overall wide receiver in the NFL this year, possibly a top 10 overall wide receiver in the NFL. When I see Brian Thomas, I'm seeing a player that, despite only having recently picked up football, we're talking about a guy that picked up football in the 10th grade for a 21.6-year-old player that he currently is. I saw a lot more nuance than I expected. I thought he was better as a route runner than I expected. I thought he could win at all three levels. And given that size, given that frame, given the natural athleticism, I feel like he has number one overall wide receiver upside. I think he could be a wide receiver one in the league, and I don't think he escapes the top 25 NFL picks.
Yeah, I'm seeing a pick like I saw Jacksonville in one of the mocks. That got me excited. You know what I mean? Like, go into an area where he could come in and be the wide receiver one and with a couple complimentary pieces. Corey, same question for you. Who's that wide receiver four right now?
Yeah, so I have Xavier Worthy as my wide receiver four. I'm done with the slander on Xavier Worthy because nobody wants to watch this guy for himself. I don't know if everybody else feels this way about Xavier Worthy, but it feels like everybody just trusts whoever is talking about him. They're like, oh, he's probably got 4.2 speed. He can't catch the ball frequently, and he's undersized. It's like, okay, he had a broken hand in 2022, so that's why he was dropping passes. In 2023, he improved on that. His freshman season didn't really have that big of an issue with drops either. He could stand to add 10 to 15 pounds to his frame. That's a concern of his. But what I see on film from this dude is probably a guy that's going to threaten John Ross's record from a speed standpoint, a guy who knows how fast he is and knows how to decelerate and operate off of that speed and use the threat of that speed to run routes at a very, very high level. My comparison for him, everybody goes to Hollywood Brown. Everybody goes to, you know, certain players. And I see that as well. I believe this guy is the ceiling of Jalen Waddle. I think the lateral agility and straight line speed combination is Jalen Waddle-esque, in my opinion. And again, age profile guys are going to like Xavier Worthy because he had a monster freshman season. He had a great sophomore year, despite playing with a broken hand. He had a better, 2023 season in terms of a route runner. I thought his film in 2023 really showed a lot of growth in that aspect. I know Daniel Jeremiah has talked about that as well. With Xavier Worthy, I look at a guy who's got a pretty complete profile competing four targets with Adonai Mitchell, with JT Sanders, and an offense that was the engine was Bijan Robinson and Jonathan Brooks and Roschon Johnson, all the great running backs they've had throughout Xavier Worthy's career. He has versatility on special teams. He's tough as nails, even though he's a small dude. I have a hard time betting against somebody who I think was literally, came out of the womb ready to play football.
You got me all excited now on Xavier Worthy.
Snoog loves Worthy, so he's getting excited on this end. But Snoog, who's your four right now?
Right now it's Brian Thomas Jr., but it's a tier of him, Tre Franklin, and Xavier Worthy. And like Corey said, everything about Worthy, he checks every damn box you can think of. And the true freshman season was monstrous. I comped him to some of the best college football wide receiver prospects ever. Amari Cooper, Jamar Chase, Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, you name it, they were on there. Worthy was on top of them in almost every damn metric. So like Corey said too, he was playing with NFL talent throughout his entire career, and he was only getting better and better. 1,000 yards with Adonai Mitchell there, Jatavion Sanders, the list goes on. You would have saw Worthy was a touchdown scoring machine in his freshman and sophomore season, and it was almost like Adonai Mitchell came and stole that spotlight away because he's that big 6'4", red zone, big body wide receiver. But Xavier Worthy, I comped him the Tank Dell. I know it's a little lazy, but just the way he moves in short areas, the speed, he excels downfield. He can run every route you can think of. I've seen that Iowa State era route. He just absolutely ruined that career for the career for that DB. I could watch that all day, but Worthy's definitely one of my favorite in the class. But Brian Thomas Jr., we were talking about a little bit earlier, being 6'5", 6'4", the weirdo I am, I stalk his Instagram to find out if he is a true 6'4", and I saw him standing next to the six.
I saw him with the tape measure. He was just trying to check it out. He was standing next to the six tackle.
I forget his name. I think he's the right tackle. And he was literally head and shoulders the same height as the guy. And I couldn't believe it. So I think he's a true 6'5". And the way he moves at that size, downfield especially, it's he can just run unlimited go routes in the SEC and win every single time downfield. 17 touchdowns. You don't do that just being accidentally good. So I think you could honestly probably argue Malik Nabers and Brian Thomas Jr. are part of the reason Jaden Daniels had such a good year and led towards Heisman success. But Brian Thomas Jr., soft hands, always making plays downfield. There's just so much upside there. And Daniel Jeremiah just updated his board again. All these big draft analysts have him going as their fourth wide receiver off the board. So I think it's pretty set in stone.
Danny, the next guy I want to talk about is the cilantro of the wide receiver class. You love him or you hate him. I see everybody all over the place, but there's only been four wide receivers that hit the 3.0 yards per route run, 80 plus receptions, 10 touchdowns. It's Nabers, Harrison, Odunze, and this guy who runs, who's going to run a 4.38, had a 19.6 early breakout age, absolute beast for Yak. We're talking about Tre Franklin. Do you love him? Do you hate him? And do you like cilantro?
I'm high on him. I really did like Tre Franklin when I watched his film. Obviously, the cons that people are going to detract are, we're talking about the Oregon scheme. We're talking about a lot of designed deep shots. A lot of the plays that he made down the field were schemed, which is what people are going to say. What I see with him is the 6'3", is the 185, is the 4.3 speed. And I really thought he was underrated as a nuanced route runner. I really do see a Calvin Ridley type of upside here. Okay. He can play on the outside. I really do think he can separate at all three levels, can win at all three levels. And I think he's going to be going in the top 35, top 40 of the NFL draft. He's my current wide receiver 6. I think a team like Buffalo could use a player like that. I think Kansas City, especially MVS replacement, sign me the hell up. Tre Franklin, man, again, like you said, some people are completely off of him. Some people, when you look into the metrics, he grades fairly well, are going to have maybe wide receiver 3, wide receiver 4. I kind of fall in the middle, wide receiver 6. I'd be comfortable taking him at that, early second portion of my rookie drafts, pending the draft capital.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like you said with Worthy,
the 4.2 speed, I think him and Franklin are going to be fighting for that. Who's the fastest wide receiver in this class? And I think that's a real argument. So Daniel Jeremiah finally put both of them. For some reason, every NFL draft analyst hates Xavier Worthy. I don't know what he did. Maybe he was doing stuff with one of their wives behind their backs or something. But Tre Franklin finally slipped into that first round. I think both of them are going to crush the combine and make their way into the first round.
Yeah, and they're looking at two guys that are probably, if they do go first round, they're going to go late first round to one of these teams that are, you know, like you said, like the Bills, like the Chiefs. Corey, what do you think of when you see Troy Franklin's tape? I mean, this is one of the most polarizing guys. Like you said with Worthy, same thing. It's like Twitter seems to love him or hate him. There's not a consensus. Everybody loves the top three. Most people like Brian Thomas. These two guys kind of are ones that we got to start selling people on.
Nobody likes the slender receivers, man. The skinny hate has got to end. Everybody likes, you know, their 6'4", 215-pound wide receivers. But in my opinion, you look at the bust rate of those type of dudes, it's like they get pushed up the board because of their size. And, you know, I'm not saying that B-Tom and, you know, Keon Coleman aren't good prospects. They definitely are. It's just Xavier Worthy and the way the NFL is going. Like, we just had a 5'8", 160-pound wide receiver just torch the NFL with the Houston Texans. Like, Jordan Addison, who got so much hate for his size last year, had a great rookie season as well. His over-under on touchdowns was the freest cash I've ever seen in my life. I don't know, man. Troy Franklin and Xavier Worthy, both of these guys are so disrespected, in my opinion. You look at the way that they move, the way that they run routes. Troy Franklin, analytically speaking, checks literally every box you could possibly imagine. Every single statistical category, he got better every single year. Yards, targets, touchdowns, whatever you look at. He had a down season this year from like a hands perspective. His ball tracking suffered a little bit and he had some drops, but that wasn't an issue for him in 2022. And it wasn't an issue for him as a freshman either. When you look at a guy that had a production throughout his entire college career and legit is a huge, huge big play threat. And like Danny mentioned too, my comp for him is like Devontae Smith and Jameson Williams body. So it's like a weird, because he has a weird archetype physically, 6'2" or 6'3", 180 pounds. It's like a weird archetype, but I do think he's not Jameson Williams. He's not just a deep threat. He's not a guy that struggles with ball tracking, because I actually had similar concerns for Jameson Williams coming out. I do think he has the ability to develop a full route tree and go to an offense that's very timing based and actually, you know, showcase an ability to be like a smart player and understand the concepts versus zone coverage and stuff. So Troy Franklin, again, I know NFL draft analysts aren't super, super excited about him. Same goes for Xavier Worthy. But when I look at what matters for fantasy football, these guys check a lot of boxes.
Corey, I love that, because my thread comes out tomorrow on Troy Franklin. I have him Devonta Smith, DJ Chark is kind of my comp in that area. And I love that we're on the same page with that again, too. You know, those kind of things. How do you guys feel like a lot of the communities? I love that you guys are doing comps, because, you know, that was huge over the last 5 years. In the last couple of years, like, people start to look at that comp and then they just think, Danny, like, if you say that Brian Thomas is Calvin Ridley, or you say that, you know, this guy's going to, that doesn't mean they're going to be that. That just means that's the playing style comp. I mean, how do you guys come? Exactly. But everybody thinks that that's who you mean you're drafting. You know what I mean? Like, that just blows my mind.
Yeah, I mean, it's clearly stylistic, in my opinion. So, I mean, when people point out, for example, how do you view, you know, why Adne Mitchell? Like, how are you going to put him with T. Higgins? Like, he's so inconsistent on film. Well, when I'm watching how he wins, I can see him winning at the next level like T. Higgins does. Big boundary, X wide receiver, vertical space. Like, I just see that type of dominant X factor at the next level. And when it comes to him, obviously the detractors are going to be, well, why don't we see it on every snap? That's why he's at wide receiver 7. If he did it on every single snap, the guy would probably be wide receiver 4.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. Snoog, there's one more guy in this tier, and I know you and Corey are both really high on him. I mean, Ladd McConkey, we got to go over it. I love the thread that you put out there. You know, what he did at the Senior Bowl, put people on the map, you know, to start to get understanding of him. Talk to me about him.
Yeah, I mean, Ladd is just a nuanced route runner. Some people just, for some reason, hate the small white receivers. Give me the value in rookie drafts, because he's just an absolute monster. The only injury I found while diving through his profile is he was injured a lot. He hurt his back. He hurt his ankle. That is an issue for sure. But when he was on the field, he produces at a high level. And his yards per out run, which is one of the highest indicators analytically that you can track for, especially rookie wide receivers and just wide receivers during their NFL career, was through the roof. He was right up there with Harrison Jr. and Malik Nabers. So I'm all in on Ladd. And I think there's a chance he jumps a Troy Franklin with good draft capital and a better landing spot. And as long as he goes in that top 40, top 50, there's a good chance Ladd is going to be a mid to late first round rookie pick in Superflex. I just think he is a PPR machine with how his style like lines up. And I comped him, like, a lot of people have been saying Cooper Kupp, but I almost see like Robert Woods in him. Like, people forget how good Robert Woods was in his prime for the Rams. He was just that nuanced route runner, great in space, good after the catch, good at everything. and that becomes a PPR blanket machine for quarterbacks, right? Like if we see him go to a Carolina where Bryce Young finally can throw the football to someone with two hands, Ladd McConkey is going to feast underneath. So I'm excited about that. Corey, I'm curious to see like what makes you that much higher on Ladd McConkey than me, because he's my seven and I feel like I'm pretty high on him. I know you said you have him like four or five, so I want to hear how you kind of dive into that and like what you saw when you watched him that was like, all right, this guy's a first round talent.
Yeah, so I'm at six. Danny actually has him at five, but I mean, when I look at McConkey, my comp for him is I like the Woods comp, but I think the crucial detail that you're missing in the Woods comp is this guy's going to run in the 4.3s, and Robert Woods ain't sniffing 4.3 speed. Yeah. So my comp for him is Golden Tate, a guy that can play Z receiver or slot receiver at the NFL level. Route, like, I think people hear, oh, he's a great route runner. They don't exactly know what that means. If you guys turn on Ladd McConkey film, you will watch him sell his route one way and go the other way on numerous occasions, because he is one of the best in this class at marrying his shoulders, his knees, his hips, and his feet. You have no idea if he's crossing your face, if he's going deep, if he's running a double move, if he's running an out route, if he's cutting back in for a dig. You have no idea what this guy is running if you're a defensive back. And that is what makes Ladd McConkey so good. On top of that, his agility score is going to be as good as JSN's, if not better, at the combine if he actually ends up doing it, because this guy's got freakish feet. So Ladd McConkey, again, slow white receiver. Everybody's going to view him that way because that's what every slot receiver who's white in the NFL looks like. Ladd McConkey, he's a PPR machine. I'm glad you said that, because how many times have we looked at these wide receivers going into the NFL draft and said, oh, he's a great route runner? Name me the last time that we said that about a prospect and they missed at the NFL level. We usually get misses like Quentin Johnston, guys who are not refined, who are more raw, Treylon Burks types, Jameson Williams types. The route runners translate. They have been for years. And if you look back at the history, even just last year, Jordan Addison was a good route runner coming out of school. Tank Dell was a good route runner coming out of school. Rashee Rice, good route runner coming out of school. Zay Flowers, good route runner coming out of school. Even these undersized guys, if they can run routes at a high level, they're going to hit in the NFL level.
Absolutely. Yeah. Route running over just size, athletic freaks. If you had to pick one guy, Corey, because you alluded to Quentin Johnston, Treylon Burks, is there a wide receiver in this class who you feel like is going to, you know, has that bust potential to be that way because they aren't the route runner? They're just that physical specimen.
So I'm going to group three guys together because I believe all three of them, like, this is how it's going to work. With Brian Thomas Jr., with Adonai Mitchell, and with Keon Coleman, one of them is going to be a superstar, one of them is going to be a middling level talent, and one of them is going to be a huge bust. That's the way I look at these three guys. You have to take the shot on all three because the upside is absolutely there with all three. If you're a little bit more risk averse, maybe you go with a Ladd McConkey or a Troy Franklin or an Xavier Worthy in the spot that you're at. Maybe you pivot to quarterback or running back, whatever. But the way I look at all three of these guys is, with Thomas, I saw a little bit of, you know, that raw. The reason my comp for him is Nico Collins as well. I saw a little bit of that raw, limited route tree. Maybe he's going to only work on downfield type of stuff at the next level. I think he's a good mover. I think he's a guy that can develop a full route tree, but the low market share numbers scare me a little bit. The separation ability on more nuanced routes scare me a little bit. Danny mentioned it with Adonai Mitchell. I think that he is totally, totally, as a Texas Longhorns fan, a different player down in and down out. He looks like CeeDee Lamb on some plays and Terrace Marshall on others. I don't know what the heck Adonai Mitchell's doing sometimes, but he has really, really special highlights and really, really horrible lowlights. And I would say he's the most likely of these guys to probably end up busting. Nobody seems to like Keon Coleman. I'm the only one, it feels like, who actually sees kind of a path for Keon Coleman to become like a great player in the next level. Because I think when you look at the reason that a Quentin Johnston would bust, or you know, some of these other bigger wide receivers would bust, when I see a guy with monster hands, absolutely unbelievable in contested situations, two sport athlete, productive at two Power Five schools, two pretty good programs as well, physicality, he's pretty good after the catch. He's a good athlete. He doesn't have, like, you know, breakaway 4.4, 4.3 speed, but he's a really good athlete. I think he does have a high ceiling. I find it hard to believe that just because he's a little bit raw as a route runner, just because he's lacking that elite speed and he has some mental mistakes at times and he didn't really have the greatest like market share production in the world. I think there's too many green flags on Keon Coleman's profile right now to tell me that he's just going to be an outright unmitigated bust. I think if one of these guys is going to be a bust, it's going to be Adonai Mitchell. But again, I still like what Mitchell presents in his, you know, 40% tape that looks unbelievable, because my comp for him is George Pickens, who was a very similar type of prospect and honestly still kind of is with Pittsburgh.
And Danny, that's why we take those guys in that 109 to 112, because we're taking that risk, right? Like these other guys we know are going to hit. I still tell people when they took Quentin Johnston at nine, that that wasn't the wrong pick. You know, it's just that he did not pan out. It wasn't right there. You know, it's just there was so much talent there between the three wide receivers that, that Corey said. I mean, how would you say who's going to hit, who's going to bust if you had to pick?
I mean, I would agree that they all represent their own volatility and they are all not sure things. Like, I mean, we were just talking about Ladd McConkey, for example. He's my wide receiver five, Doug Baldwin archetype. Like, I would be shocked if a guy like Ladd McConkey did not hit at the next level. Brian Thomas.
All three of you didn't just go with a random white guy comp. I'm so proud of you guys on that. You guys actually did the work. Like, that's all you ever see on Twitter. So thank you.
Yeah, no problem. So like I mentioned, Brian Thomas would be the one I favor the most. He's a guy who graded 84.5, which is close to a top 25 talent. So if we're talking about it, about a top 30, top 35 level player in this class, according to the grades. Keon Coleman, Adne Mitchell. Adne comes in as my 7, Keon as my 10, but I view both of these guys as top 50 overall players. With a guy like A.D. Mitchell, I mean, you mentioned a little bit of the CeeDee Lamb factor. I noticed that in his releases. I mean, his footwork, the little hop that he has, really reminds me of CeeDee. And obviously, as a Cowboys fan, seeing that week in and week out, seeing what CeeDee Lamb was able to progress into, I mean, it gets me excited watching A.D. Mitchell. I can't rank him as my wide receiver 4 because of the lapses in his film, but the high end is up there with, I mean, we're talking about just under a guy like Rome Odunze, to be quite honest. With a guy like Keon Coleman, guy I grew on at first. I mean, obviously the raw nature is at effect. He's never been a huge volume commander in college. He was never really, you know, trusted upon to be that 8, 9, 10 target per game type of player. But like Corey said,
Michigan State. I will push back on that there? Narrative a little bit, is that he there? Was a little bit more of a volume commanding guy at Michigan State with mm-hmm. Jaden Reed there, by the way.
Fair. I mean, but the pros, I mean, are still represented. Elite, legit, number one X wide receiver traits. Big physical dominant at the point of the catch. I mean, he literally had the highest catch grade that I gave across this class. Contested situations, non-contested situations, high point in the football. I mean, whatever the case was, Keon Coleman kind of seemed like an 80-20 type of player. He would always be able to come down with that football. So really love that. He reminds me a ton of a guy like George Pickens. You mentioned that with A.D. Mitchell. It's funny because I applied it to a different wide receiver in this range here. But George Pickens, if he can settle in at the next level, if he can really expand that route tree again, raw in that aspect, I think he can have that type of ascension. I mean, we saw George Pickens year 2 be an 1,100-yard wide receiver. If Keon Coleman lands in the right spot, gets the right development, I can see that type of path. But as of right now, I think he's the most raw out of these three wide receivers. But I mean, I think all of them have elite, you know, top 15 overall upside.
Snoog, this is why we keep saying buy 2024 second round picks, because we're 10 wide receivers deep and we still got guys we like. So I want you guys to think of one more wide receiver to plug before we start comparing them to last year's class. One more guy that you're like, okay, we're in the second round. I got to go after this guy.
Can I go first?
Yeah, go ahead.
I love Jalen Polk, man. I love Jalen Polk. I think he has, Danny mentioned the best hands in this class going to Keon Coleman. As great as Keon Coleman's hands are, Jalen Polk has the best hands in this class, in my opinion. So my comp for Jalen Polk, and I missed on this guy last year, so I'm kind of like correcting my mistake a little bit. My comp for him is Rashee Rice. I didn't think Rashee Rice, and part of it because he was hurt on his 2022 tape and it muddied his profile a little bit. I think Jalen Polk has a Rashee Rice-like skill set in that he's not going to run in the 4.3s. He's not going to jump out the gym. He's probably an average or, you know, 8.5 RAS type of athlete because he has good size. He's 6'2", 205 pounds. But what he does have going for him, like I said, is he's automatic at the catch point, like absolutely automatic. He's really solid after the catch. I think he's well-rounded. I think he can work on all three levels of the field. And I think with Rashee Rice, I think part of the reason why I missed on Rashee Rice is when you look at his rookie season tape with Kansas City this year, and you look at his final season at SMU, he looks like a completely different player. And a lot of that is due to health, but another part of that is he just looks like a coachable player, if that makes any sense. And he's a smart dude and he kind of understands what he needs to do. And of course, a lot of things depend on landing spot and the wide receiver coach that you get with at the next level. But dude, you give me Jalen Polk in an offense that's going to develop his skill set, I really think he could be one of the most underrated wide receivers in this class. A guy that, like Rashee Rice, we're looking back and we're like, how is this guy going off the board wide receiver 16 or, you know, wherever, in mid to late second round, even early to mid second round where I have him ranked? I'm going to be all over Jalen Polk.
guys, make sure you listen to that, because I was even going to ask, who's this year's Rashee Rice? Corey hit you hard with Jalen Polk. I like it. Snoog, who's your guy out of this group?
It's pretty on brand for me to say, but Javon Baker, UCF wide receiver. I just think he's a filthy talent. I think the pedigree at Bama, playing in a room with Jalen Waddle, Devontae Smith, even Jameson Williams was there. John Metchie, who was a great prospect just from a college football standpoint. Javon Baker left and instantly produced at UCF. This year, I just did his 2023 prospect production profile. He was outstanding in every metric that matters, just based on this class. 21.9 yards per reception, which was first in the class. He's an excellent vertical threat downfield. A lot of love about Tez Walker. Javon Baker's what you want Tez Walker to be. And they were promoting him as like an early round two. Jeremiah had him in his round one of his first round, or his first 1.0 mock. So Javon Baker's that guy, 3.0 plus yards per out run against man and zone this year. He had 3.0 plus yards per team pass attempt. These are metrics that matter. And Javon Baker was great in contested catch abilities. Like, his ability to make acrobatic plays and adjust to the ball while it's in air was phenomenal. And could you tell me who UCF's quarterback was? Because he's probably working at McDonald's now, for all we know. He was absolutely terrible. And Javon Baker just carried that team. Kobe Hudson's another guy at UCF that could be an NFL level talent. And he was there with Javon Baker, and they were both absolutely dominating. So Javon Baker's literally my wide receiver 9. I'll die on that hill. I think he's going to test really well. I don't know if you guys saw the Senior Bowl on-field tracking data, but I know he was like the second fastest player there. Hoping for early 4.4s, maybe 4.38-ish speed from him, and hopefully he's a day 2 pick. But until then, he's my wide receiver 9.
Love it. Danny, you got one for me yet?
Yeah, so this one's hotly contested, and we mentioned his name earlier, but I can't get over the fact that this guy is going to be my wide receiver 8. Might fall in a lot of your drafts because of that analytical profile we mentioned. I did not want to be the Xavier Leggett guy, but when I watched him, I mean, this guy's film was absolutely dominant. I mean, we're looking at a guy that, again, people are going to point to the analytical profile. People are going to say, why did he wait so long to do this? Like, what exactly happened? And I mentioned a little bit of the context in the pre-show, but there's a lot going on there. Brooks ends up declaring last year. Antoine Wells expected to be the main guy, Juice Wells, this year. Not ended up being the case. So they both missed their bowl game last year against Notre Dame. I believe one of their coaches left. Insert new coach. Leggett and Rattler start building that chemistry. And I believe in that game, Xavier Leggett had 7 receptions, 78 yards, 3 touchdowns. Really showed that type of elite upside that would come to fruition this year. This offseason, they end up working out together. They end up getting on the same page. And I mean, I think it really had top 5 overall film in this class. When I watch Xavier Leggett, you're getting an extremely big athlete, extremely fluid mover at his size. Showed promise as a route runner, in my opinion. I really do think that despite being so physically dominant at the catch point, he's also a damn good separator. I really do think when I'm watching a guy like Xavier Leggett, I'm getting shades of DK Metcalf. And I really am hesitant to raise him higher than 8 simply because of the analytical profile. Why didn't you do it earlier than this season? But I mean, the tape don't lie, man. This guy can win at all 3 levels. And I think he's got number 1 overall wide receiver upside on any given team.
Guys, you got to, that's 12 wide receivers that we hit that these guys who are super sharp all are on top of. So what I want to do now is I want to kind of compare a little bit to last year's class. And we're going to start with you, Corey, on the first one. We're going to play a little keep, trade, cut, a little bit. You know, you can swing it for value. You can swing it just based off of who you like. But we're going to go Roma Dunze, Jaxon Smith-Njigba, and Tank Dell.
Yeah, so Odunze is probably the re-roll I'm taking here at same. The first overall of this three group. I like JSN. There's no way I could say with a straight face I would take him over Tank Dell at this point in time. What Tank Dell did his rookie season is just far too impressive. Prospect profiles matter until they don't, in my opinion. You know, JSN's prospect profile semi-matters, maybe like 10-15%. But Tank Dell's rookie season production was outstanding. So it would actually be between Romo Odunze and Tank Dell. And I guess given the tiebreaker of Nico Collins' presence there in Houston, I would probably roll with Odunze. And I think, I mean, the NFL is going to pick him really, really high. And there's a good chance he's the number one receiver for the Cardinals or the number one receiver for Justin Herbert and the Chargers or the number one receiver in New York or something like that. And he's going to have targets, and more targets.
Talk to me a little bit about JSN, because people are worried about him in the dynasty community. You know, he showed a little bit down the back half. Tyler Lockett could be a casual, you know, a cap hit casualty, try to move off of there. And that's what we really want. But I mean, if someone comes to you today and right now, I mean, Brian Thomas is my 108. If they offered you the 108 for JSN, are you taking that? Because Snoog and I talk about it all the time, is we both value the 107 more, because Odunze or Bowers is going to be at that spot and you're going to be thrilled with that. Eight gets a little bit more like, okay, is JJ McCarthy going to move up? Is one of these other guys, Brian Thomas? Is the 108 the point for you, or are you going to hold on because JSN is so young and because his profile was so good last year?
Yeah, I mean, I value Xavier Worthy at the 108, and I would take Xavier Worthy over JSN right now. And it's mainly like a quick diatribe on JSN right now. People can't pretend that his rookie season wasn't disappointing and then also mm-hmm. justify his fifth round ADP back in August. You can't have it both ways. If he was supposed to be a fifth round ADP player, sixth round ADP player from Underdog Fantasy, then his rookie season was really disappointing. So mm-hmm. was he not supposed to be going that high because he was caught behind Tyler Lockett and DK Metcalf? Or was he just very disappointing his rookie season? For me, I think that he probably should have been going that high because of his prospect profile and what he could have represented, especially in a season that or in a tournament that rewarded late season production like Best Ball Mania. So the fact that people are still kind of just like, oh, his profile was fine. It's okay. He was caught behind those guys. It's wheels up in year two. I can get there. I definitely think it's possible. I just don't think that we need to count it as a certainty. And for me, I'm taking a reroll on a 108 over a guy that is kind of a coin flip at this point.
I like that a lot. And I'm trying to take my shares of JSN and I'm packaging up. I'm adding a second on there to get to the certain area. I traded JSN in a second to get the 106. I'm just thrilled about it because whoever falls there at 106 is going to be, like you said, a re-roll at minimum. You know what I mean? And the profile is right
there's
there.
There's a JSN truther in every league. Absolutely. You can find one in every single league. There's someone will give you the 106 in a lot of leagues, I would imagine, for JSN.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. Danny, we're going to go with you on this one. This one's got Brian Thomas, Jordan Addison, or Rashee Rice. So very similar to how Corey did it. If you want to rank them, if you want to do a keep trade cut, I'm okay anyway. But these guys, we tried to make it tough. Rashee Rice was phenomenal down the stretch and in the Super Bowl. Jordan Addison, while Kirk Cousins was healthy, was great. Brian Thomas, we just got done talking about how special we think he is as well. So you're up.
Man, this one is tough for me. So I end up having it now for the record. Wide receiver 20 for me is Rashee Rice. Wide receiver 22 is Jordan Addison. And wide receiver 25 is Brian Thomas. Now, that is before the NFL draft. Maybe, you know, Brian Thomas goes top 15, perfect landing spot. We can revisit. But as far as it goes right now, Rashee is my keep. Jordan Addison is my trade. And Brian Thomas is my cut. And I love all three of these players. Rashee Rice, I feel like, has to be the number one, given that number one role, given the attachment to Patrick Mahomes, what he showed down the stretch, what he showed in the playoffs. He's got to be my number one. Jordan Addison was my number one overall wide receiver in the pre-draft cycle last year. Goes to Minnesota, very strong rookie season. I can't rank him over Rashee Rice, though, because of the presence of Justin Jefferson, because of the uncertainty of Kirk Cousins. I have to rank Rashee Rice over. So those two are my top two. And then Brian Thomas, at this point, it's just tough for me to rank him over either of those two guys, in my opinion. I mean, as much as I love Brian Thomas, you're getting two proven very, very strong rookie seasons. And I just don't think I can give that up at this current point.
Oh, my, our guy, Chad Parsons, at Under the Helmet was Rashee Rice. Wow. You know, but hey, what I really love about what both you guys are doing is you guys aren't stuck on last year's analysis. You aren't stuck that saying JSN and Addison, don't even think about it. These are the guys. You got to, you know, in Dynasty, you got to start reevaluating and see where you're at value wise, you know, every single year. It's not just like, okay, this is what I wanted there. Love it. Snoog, we're going to hit you with Zay Flowers, Troy Franklin, and Jaden Reed, who seems to be everybody's Twitter darling right now.
I'm definitely going to keep Zay Flowers there. First round talent, phenomenal after the catch, tied to Lamar Jackson. There's just no way. I don't think Troy Franklin can match that. I don't care where he goes. I'd say I'm going to trade Troy Franklin. I liked Reed. He was one of my favorite sleepers in the class last year, but I just think the situation in Green Bay, there's just so many wide receivers there. Jordan Love spreads the ball around. I mean, you got Musgrave, Kraft, Dontavian Wicks, who's a guy that I really like. And then you got Christian Watson, who wasn't really healthy last year, and Romeo Dubs. And they could add more this year. Who knows? But looming situation there, even though Reed was really good this year and they like to get the ball in his hands in the backfield, they use him in that Deebo Samuel type role. I just think Troy Franklin's like the re-roll I want, especially if he ends up in Kansas City, like Daniel Jeremiah has him at 32, and he's the vertical threat alongside Rashee Rice. But I mean, Zay Flowers had a really solid rookie year, only going to get better from here on out. I know he had a slow ending to his fumble and everyone's hating Zay Flowers and then the Chargers and all that crap. I don't care about that. He's good at football. He's a good route runner. He's explosive after the catch. He's a human joystick. So I'm all in on Zay Flowers, and I think he's probably the clear best out of these guys.
Reed's an interesting one. I feel like just what we talked about with JSN is I've been trying to tier up, you know, and I offered same kind of thing. I offered a second and a third on top of Reed to get the 107. Like sometimes your league mates don't catch up to knowing what these prospects are. They don't listen to Smash Accept. They don't listen to Fantasy Exchange, Football Exchange. Like they don't do that. So you guys are a step ahead. Make sure you guys get in on that. So Corey, I know two of these guys you absolutely love, and then we'll throw in one from last year, but we're going to go Xavier Worthy, McConkey, or Josh Downs.
Oh, dude, this is like a my guys trio right here. I love Downs last year. I had Downs higher than Quentin Johnston last year. So I would, as of right now, I would go with Xavier Worthy because he is currently my wide receiver 4 in this class. Although if it's, you know, it's possible McConkey goes in round 1, he goes in like mid round 2 or even round 3, potentially based on what some of these NFL draft analysts are slandering about Xavier Worthy. Ladd McConkey would be my trade there, and Josh Downs my cut. I really like Josh Downs, and I know Matt Harmon, when I had him on late in the season, he loves Josh Downs too. He's an excellent route runner. Michael Pittman probably going to be back, at least on the franchise tag. And I worry a little bit how that offense is going to operate with Anthony Richardson probably going to, I would imagine if we were, you know, betting on teams that are going to run the ball at a high level, it's probably going to be the Indianapolis Colts. So yeah. Pass game's a little bit of a concern there. I would probably take, I mean, if we're talking re-rolls, like Xavier Worthy is my 108 right now and Ladd McConkey is my 110. So I would take both of those picks over Josh Downs if I were going for that. And that's not even accounting for the fact that we could get more first round quarterbacks or maybe a running back sneaks in to the top 50 or whatever.
I love that analysis. I think Downs is a low-key buy. You know, if Indianapolis doesn't draft another wide receiver and they bring back Pittman, I think he's got a, you know, a Tyler Lockett type career trajectory possibly. So he's a value in that early to mid second I've been seeing everywhere. We're going to go with you, Danny, for the last one here. I'm going to change it a little bit off the show sheet, not too much based off what we've been talking about.
Sounds good.
But I'm going to go Dontavian Wicks, Michael Wilson, or your boy, Xavier Leggett.
I mean, Leggett's going to be the easy one for me.
I did that just for you. Like, it was going to be Baker. It was going to be Baker just for Snoog, but I switched it up just for you.
Yeah, so I mean, if it was Baker, I would have just said, hey, Snoog, I'm going to trust your word here. Realistically, when it comes to the other two, I thought Dontavian Wicks showed a lot more in his rookie season than Marvin Mims, so I would value him over Marvin Mims. Question mark with Dontavian Wicks is how exactly does that Packers receiving chart actually end up materializing? Christian Watson, obviously, big-time threat, injured throughout the season. We saw Jaden Reed. I mean, we just mentioned him in the last comment. I think he's got number one overall wide receiver upside in that offense. And Dontavian Wicks, obviously, there as well with Romeo Doubs. So I think he would be my two because he showed more flashes than Marvin Mims. Marvin Mims, I'm kind of nervous at this point. Is this another KJ Hamler situation? Is he drafted to be a special teamer? Like what are we exactly hoping Marvin Mims can become? Again, if you want to take Marvin Mims and someone in your league is like, oh, well, they just traded away Jerry Jeudy or they just traded away Cortland Sutton and you want to sell him off of that hype, fine by me. But at this point, I feel more comfortable in the projection with Dontavian Wicks than I do Marvin Mims. So ranking that in order, I would keep Leggett. I would trade Dontavian Wicks and I would cut Marvin Mims. Wicks as my wide receiver 68 in Dynasty and Marvin Mims as my wide receiver 73 respectively.
I love it. Yeah, you guys absolutely nailed it. You know, and I wanted to take a minute. We're going to do a quick mock draft between the two classes. But again, Corey, you know, tell people what they're going to get. If they get your rookie guide, like what can they expect? You know, and I know you said you're going to have multiple, you know, different variations of it coming out throughout. So tell people about when those are coming out and what exactly they're going to get again.
Yeah. So for Danny's boy, let's use Xavier Leggett as an example. You're going to see his player card. You're going to see exactly what we think his strengths are, what we think his weaknesses are. What metrics does he shine in? He had a 3.15 yards per route run this past year. That was fifth in the class, so on and so forth. We rank his traits, his hands, his route running, yak ability, all that kind of stuff. Then we go through his fantasy outlook. How does the market view him? How do we view him? Where would we feel comfortable taking him in a rookie draft? His range of outcomes, that kind of thing. We talk about what games we watch. Georgia, Florida, Mississippi State, and Clemson were the ones that we watch. Where does he rank for us among wide receivers? Where do we think he's going to go in the NFL draft? His projected draft capital we have listed here is top 50, could be top 75, maybe worst case scenario. What's his projected NFL role? Who's our player comparison? We both have it as DK Metcalf. And then I go in depth with like exactly why I gave him an 8.5 out of 10 in terms of his hands grade. You know, when you look at his size, you know, he's a guy that could be dominant at the catch point given that frame, but he doesn't always hold on to the ball. So that's why he lost a little bit of points. So that's just like one example. We have that for all the prospects. We're going to go 50 deep by the time, you know, mid-March is up. We're going to be doing film breakdowns on the site as well. Coming out after our 50 players are out, we're going to start breaking down film on these players. So literally just so much value in this thing. Like, honestly, I can't sell it enough. And like I said, on our site where you get it, you'll also get the draft guides of other creators too, that you might be following. If you follow Zach and Badake over at Dynasty Land, if you follow the Dynasty Domain guys, I'm sure a lot of people, redraft players, especially probably follow Mason because he has the biggest redraft channel on YouTube. So tons of value everywhere in this guide.
Guys, make sure you check that out. Now we're going to do is quick 23 and 24. You know, mock draft between the two classes. Corey, since you just went, I'm going to let you go first and let you pick your guy. Danny, you go second. Snook third. I'll go fourth. We'll do it snake style. And just straight up, this year's class, last year's class. And if there's any explanation in between, hit it up.
So you're giving me the easy one? I just get Marvin?
Yeah, I gave you. Yep. This, just smash Marvin. You know, you're good to go.
Yeah, I don't even need to say anything. My comp for him, you guys all said AJ Green. My comp for him is actually Larry Fitzgerald because of how clean of a projection he is and the size and the like crystal clear off the field projection too. It sounds like he's just like the greatest work ethic wide receiver who's ever lived
Model
on
citizen.
Top of all the talent that he has here. Obviously first ballot Hall of Fame father, that usually happens. So I'll take Marvin 101 here.
How fast do you think he's going to run? Cause I see a lot of people think
his
he's
Youngstown State touchdown matched the touchdown against the Cowboys that Metcalf had on Thursday Night Football in terms of MPH speed. So if that
Metcalf
doesn't tell you
4.33
the 4.3s or at least the 4.4s, I would be shocked.
Yeah,
if we're talking about Marvin Harrison ran 4.57 at the combine, I would be stunned if he doesn't run in at least the low 4.4s.
Corey, real quick, and we talk about on our show insulated trades where we trade for a guy that we believe in and then get some value insulation on top of that. If you're moving off Lamb or Chase right now, would you trade, you know, to get Marvin Harrison in a random 25 first? Which side would you rather have, one of those two wide receivers, or would you be that comfortable to go out and get Marvin if it's a random 25 first?
Well, I actually just did a video on the 2025 class. And I mean, unless you need running backs, it's looking a little bit shaky as far as the other positions are concerned. So I believe that much in Marvin Harrison, man. Like I believe that much in Marvin Harrison. I would probably roll with Marvin.
This was the year. If you rebuild in 23, 24, you take the wide receivers, 25, you get the running backs. Let's smash it home. Danny, you're up at the 102.
Yeah, pretty easy choice for me. Again, we're not talking about these guys as prospects. And it's funny because this is a guy that may not have been drafted in your rookie drafts, may have been drafted right before or picked up right before the season when he got buzzed that he would potentially be the number two high-powered offense. Matthew Stafford, Sean McVay. Puka Nacua has got to be the number two for me at this point. What he showed in his rookie season, I mean, just absolutely phenomenal. And nobody can say that they even expected remotely close to this. Puka Nacua is my wide receiver 7 in Dynasty. There's really no reason for me to fade him at this point. I mean, you're talking about an ultra productive young wide receiver. I'm done. Like, I don't care that he didn't go in the first three rounds of the NFL draft. I don't care if he had this crystal clean prospect projection. He showed what he is in his rookie season, and that is a number one NFL wide receiver, and I want to trust that.
Danny, all those guys that said, hey, draft him in the fourth round, they knew this was going to happen. They'll tell you that on Twitter. Yeah. They'll post their receipts. We said draft him at 4.08. Yeah, it's going to be – he's going to turn into this. Snoop, you're up, buddy.
Yeah, I'm going to go with the layup here, Malik Nabers. I think he's damn near situation proof. I think even if he ends up in the Giants at 6 or even ends up in Tennessee at 7, I think Malik Nabers at worst ends up looking like Jets Garrett Wilson, like a guy that's getting 140, 150 targets. I don't think you can get worse of a situation than Garrett Wilson and the Jets. So I think there's a chance Nabers can still get 8 touchdowns, maybe 7 touchdowns on some big yak plays. I think if he goes to the Cardinals or the Chargers, then you're looking at a guy that could have 1,200 to 1,400 yards as a rookie. As crazy as that is to just say, he's that good. I have him on that Garrett Wilson, CeeDee Lamb level or above as a prospect. And I think Malik Nabers to the Chargers and the Cardinals will feed families. So
he's going to feed some families. I like it. Roma Dunze for me is a clear choice at 4, and I'm going to take Rashi Rice at 5. Just these are guys that I have as foundational wide receivers for your dynasty team. Corey, you're back up.
Yeah, I'll roll with my guy, Jordan Addison, guy that I fought the size truthers tooth and nail last offseason for, because I tweeted midway through the season after he had scored like his 9th touchdown or whatever by week 11. I was like, you guys all owe Jordan Addison an apology, because he literally was a straight baller and you guys didn't see it because you were worried about his 175-pound frame.
Yeah, and everything with Dynasty is about timing. There was a time where you could have moved from the 106 where JSN was to Addison at 108 and get yourself a 24 second. Those days are gone.
I did it three times last year.
Same. Yeah. It's just like when you trust your – I mean, for me, you guys are phenomenal. But when we're talking about rookie drafts, rookie picks, if you can get insulation on it and you move yourself back, you have just so many more opportunities if you don't feel really hard a certain way. Danny, you're up.
Yeah, and this is a guy that, like Puka Nacua, I'm just taking the guys that nobody really believed in the prospect cycle. Give me Tank Dell here. Obviously, and I mean, I just sniped that Snoog there, but you got to respect the production. You got to respect the production. You got to respect the overall situation there long-term, working with CJ Stroud, really strong rapport shown between the two rookies this past season. And in 11 games, we're talking about a guy that had over 700 receiving yards and 7 touchdowns. And that's not even including the context that in 2 of those games, he played 13% of the snaps and 36% of the snaps. I really do think this could be a number one wide receiver. As much as I love Nico Collins, I think both of those two guys can be legitimate top 15 overall wide receivers. It can happen with Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. It can happen with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. We've seen two quality wide receivers be able to produce on the same team in the past. And I really do think Nico Collins and Tank Dell is going to be that next duo.
Common denominator is that elite quarterback, and they have it with CJ Stroud. Snoog.
Yeah, Danny nailed it. Tank Dell was damn near on that Puka level. If you really look at the like what he could have been if he didn't break his leg. I mean, he probably was hitting 1,300, 1,400 yards, double-digit touchdowns, playing alongside CJ Stroud in that Houston offense. But I'm going to roll with Jackson Smith and Jigba. The pedigree, the prospect profile, the NFL viewed him as the best wide receiver in the class. His agility circuit was phenomenal. He's just a slot merchant, and I think he can win in other ways as well. We saw him winning downfield on very small glimpses, but I think the Seattle offense and Geno Smith just falling off last year held him back big time, along with playing with DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett. So give me JSN there all day.
I appreciate you not making me take JSN there. I just had a little bit of PTSD. Give me Zay Flowers and Brian Thomas there in that area. I think both of them are worth around the 108. I love them both there. Corey, we're going to do one more each.
Yeah, well, I mean, you leave me Zay. I'll take Xavier Worthy. So that's
I did that for you. Like, you know what I mean?
Like, guys, let me get the next Jalen Waddle at what, like 12 here, 13? Yeah. Like, I don't know what we're doing here.
Danny and then Snoop.
Yeah, I mean, you took your wide receiver 4, Corey. I'll take my wide receiver 5. We mentioned Ladd McConkey, PPR machine. I had him conk to Doug Baldwin. I think he lands 33rd overall to a team like Carolina. He lands in that early second round, late first round area to a team that needs a number one overall wide receiver in terms of fantasy. Now, real life, that's to be decided. Can he be a number one wide receiver in real life? It's yet to be seen. But in terms of fantasy, can this guy go out and have a 130, 140 plus target season? Absolutely. I mean, I'm a big fan of Ladd McConkey, and at this current point, he grades out as my wide receiver 30 in my dynasty rankings prior to the NFL draft.
Yeah. To finish it off, I'll go with my wide receiver 5/6 here. Troy Franklin, like I said, he's going to run real fast, get good draft capital. I could see him in a situation, like Corey said, where he's a Jordan Addison touchdown scoring machine like he was on the Vikings. This is a guy that could score 8 to 9 touchdowns, not necessarily be a volume guy, but play alongside another star wide receiver and still excel downfield.
I'm going to finish it off with Jaden Reed, because if I didn't, MP Fleming would let me have it. So that was, guys, this was a phenomenal show. We loved having you guys on. I mean, honestly, last time you came on, Corey, was one of our best episodes. Everybody just was asking to get you back on here. So I was so thankful that you could come on. And Danny, is great meeting you. And guys, These are must follows on Twitter. Must check out their YouTube page. Danny, Corey's done a couple of plugs in here. I'm going to give it over to you. Let us know, you know, what you're working on, where they can find you. And we'll close it up with you, Corey.
I mean, real quick, I'm assuming Corey's already made reference to our YouTube channel, Fantasy Stock Exchange. We're growing, closing in on 40,000 subscribers. Appreciate you guys for that continued support. And I mean, we're pumping out daily content. We're talking about rookie drafts right now. We're talking about these prospects. Like we said, over on Flock Fantasy, we just released our Dynasty Rookie Guide version 1. Soon enough, we're going to be able to up that to 50 in the version 2. I mean, we've spent a lot of time on that. And of course, if you guys want to check me out on Twitter, DannyFootball59. I saw Navis in chat. Do you think Danny Football likes football? I indeed like football. You should come check it out.
Corey said, I was reading all Navis's comments. They're quite interesting. But Corey, go ahead, man. Finish this up.
Yeah, I mean, I think I mentioned the draft guide without actually saying where you could find it if those people who are joining late.
They'll but, find it.
Again,
you know, if
everything
you make
I
it,
went over
come.
The draft guide, flockfantasy.com, promo code FSE for 30% off is how you get it. You do actually get a 7-day free trial when you sign up. So if you want to just check it out and see what's going on in the site, see what the other creators are doing. We got, you know, all of our prospect rankings. We have expert rankings. We have a dynasty trade calculator that is specific to your league. So if you play in a start 13 league where a depth is super, super important, it's a super flex, it's a tight end premium, only trade calculator right now on the market that'll allow you to customize for those settings. It'll adjust to your specific league settings because we know Jaden Reed in a start 13 super flex tight end premium is worth more than a one quarterback start 8 dynasty league where, you know, depth isn't as important. So that's something that you should definitely keep in mind. That's also another feature of Flock Fantasy. And again, that's linked. If you don't know where to find it, just check out our YouTube channel. It's linked in the description of all those videos.
Thanks again, guys, for tuning in and enjoy the process.
Appreciate it.
Oh, that was fire, guys. That was